Hey guys, great to be with you today. I'm excited about the message. The message is all about faith, and my heart for you is that you grow in faith. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I pray that today that you hear God's word to you, and the best and easiest way, if you're wondering, well, how do I hear God's word? Why don't you pick up a Bible? Because this is the inspired word of God. You know, God speaks to us, but his primary way today still is his word. I've had God speak to me through dreams. That's not the norm. But guess what? I always bring even that back to the Bible to bounce it off of. And so today, we're looking at the Bible because it's God's word that's already been spoken. And I think there's a great lesson for us on what it means to walk by faith. And this is the story of God delivering the nation of Israel from slavery and bringing them to the place that he promised them. And I think it's fitting for us today because many, many people, though they may not be in traditional slavery and like slavery that we think of when we look back historically, they're in the place of oppression. They're in the place where they're bound up with unforgiveness. They're miserable in many respects. And my heart and my prayer is that we can see through how God delivered his people that there's deliverance for us today. And not just individually, for us corporately and more than just a church, even through what we're walking through in the coronavirus, to see that God can bring all of us to a place of freedom, to a place of promise, to deliver us because we walk by faith. And so we're picking up the story in Exodus chapter 3 where God is delivering his people from the hand of Pharaoh. Now, they've been in slavery for a long time. And they've been praying probably for generations, God, do something, God, do something. And we see some foundational truths that are applicable to you and to me today. So let's look at Exodus chapter 3. And God is speaking to Moses at the burning bush about the nation of Israel who's in slavery. And he says in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "The Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt." Let's just stop right there. I want you to know this, and this is really the first point, that God hears your prayers. When you play from a place of pain, of oppression, where you feel like you're bound up, like something's keeping you bound, this is for us as well. We can know that God hears our prayers. This is how God begins his discussion of deliverance with Moses. He says, "I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. And I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land." This is God saying, I heard their prayers. I heard their cries. I see the oppression and I care and I have a place of promise for you. This is what he's saying. I think this is foundational for us, that we know that God hears our prayers. He hears our cries. You know, we're in the middle of a crazy situation. Like, we're talking about quarantine. People I know are being laid off, that the economy is not looking good at all. And on top of it, people are worried about getting sick. This is a time where we have to recognize that when God steps in, the world gets upended. And it may seem like a crazy thing and a wild thing, but I want you to know this. God hears our prayers. When we're in the place of difficulty and pain, God hears our prayers. And it's his heart to bring us from that place of bondage to the place of freedom in life. But we have to trust him in the process. We have to have faith. That's why I titled the message, Walking by Faith, because there is a journey that takes place from over here where I'm in bondage to the place where I'm stepping in to the promise that God has for me. There's a big in-between, and I want us to see how we get from here to there. So God says, "Look, the cry of the people of Israel in verse 9 has reached me. I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go," and he's talking to Moses, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." Do you know what Moses' first response is when God says, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my entire people out of the place of slavery and into the place that I have for them, that place of promise"? Moses didn't say, "That's right, I was created for this moment." Moses said, I think you got the wrong guy. Have you messed it? Like, you messed it all up. Like, you missed it. It's not me. Like, I can't speak good. I don't even know your name. Who am I going to tell him sent me? He makes all of the excuses. And let me just say many times that when God speaks to us and hears our prayers and he answers, it's not what we expect. Moses didn't expect this. And even more than that, the nation of Israel, when Moses finally does show up, God answers all of his questions and says, yeah, I'm gonna be with you. Oh, you say you can't speak good. I'm gonna provide your brother to speak for you, but you gotta do it. Moses finally somehow musters up enough faith and courage to obey God. Now, I respect him for that. Actually, he's known as the greatest prophet in all of the Bible. When we look at Judaism, Moses is their greatest prophet. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. He's considered an unbelievable man of faith. But his first response was to balk when God answered the prayer of his people. The church as a whole has been praying for a long, long time for God to bring deliverance for this nation. Our whole world's been upended. Don't let your first response be, whoa, what's going on here? It's natural, by the way. I get it. It can be freaky and scary, but I want you to walk by faith because God is with you. Just like God was with Moses and God was with his people, God's with you and Moses. Guess what? He ended up seeing it. But the people that had been praying for generations, they had a little more trouble. In fact, when Moses shows up and goes to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, let my people go. That's what God says. Pharaoh just says, who are you? And he increases the workload and threatens the people of Israel. And the leaders, that's who Pharaoh spoke to. And they get really upset with Moses because they're having to do more work. And the foreman said to Moses, says they confronted Moses and Aaron who were waiting outside for them. This is chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. The foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You've put a sword into their hands, an excuse to kill us. These are the same people who had been praying, oh, deliver us, deliver us. And God sends his messenger and says, I'm delivering you. And they complain about it. Why'd they complain? Because it was hard for them to see the big picture, because it was unexpected, because things got worse before they got better. It's all applicable to us today. We have to have faith and trust that God is at work. Listen, his heart for you individually is to see you go from the place of bondage and sin to the place that he promised he would bring you as you trust him, walk by faith. So, God hears our prayers. We got to know this. Here's my second point. Our prayers are seldom answered in the way that we think that they'll be answered. God, deliver us. We're all in slavery. We're all Hebrews in Egypt. Deliver us. And he sends a deliverer. And the deliverance begins. But seldom does deliverance take place in a moment. It's usually a process. And we see this process at work in the nation of Israel. And unfortunately, the process of deliverance is not always easy. It's roadblock after roadblock. It's obstacle after obstacle, seemingly insurmountable. How are they going to be delivered from the greatest power the world had ever known? And yet God shows up in plagues. In the first few, all of the nation of Israel had to suffer through the plagues as well. But God had a plan through the pain and a plan through the plagues, and it was a plan of freedom and deliverance. And he was trusting that his people would trust him and have faith. This is where we're called to live as well. Unfortunately, they didn't always have faith. In fact, oh my goodness, I wrote out a whole list. I'm not going to go through all of it. I think it fell down anyway, where they complained over and over. The plagues happen. Pharaoh actually begs them all to finally, because of the severity of the plagues, Pharaoh says, leave the land. So God said, I'm sending a deliverer. Moses goes, I'm delivering you. God sent me to deliver him. And eventually, over, if you look at the timeline, it's a year's process, they are expelled from Egypt. But they don't walk out poor, because God so moved on the heart of the Egyptians, who were so petrified of all of the plagues, that they gave them all of their wealth, all of their gold, all of their fine linens, everything. So the nation of Israel left that place of slavery and freedom. They left it wealthy, but along the way, that they didn't realize that they still had a mindset of slavery and of fear. That's fitting for us today. We're called to have the mind of Christ, that God's thoughts become our own. Jesus said that we should pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look, heaven's never going to come down to earth if our mind is so set on the things of this world and the problems that we encounter. What problems did they encounter? Oh God, Pharaoh's changed his mind. We're right at the Red Sea. How are we going to cross this Red Sea and the army's behind us? Well, God showed up. He parted the Red Sea. The nation of Israel walked through on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh's army decided to try and cross as well. And then God closed back up the Red Sea. And they watched their enemies disappear right before their very eyes. They were destroyed. But before that happened, they were complaining and whining. After it happened, they were celebrating until they realized that they were in a desert and there was no water. There was only one spring and it was salt water. And so they complained. And then a miracle took place, and God turned the water into fresh water that could be drunk. And then he provided manna for them in chapter 15. And they had this supernatural food to eat, but they complained about that too and said, God, like we want meat. We haven't had meat. And so God brought quail into the camp. And we see this pattern with them just forgetting how big God was. I want you to remember that God hears our prayers and he delivers. But I also want you to recognize that the answered prayer and God delivering us doesn't always look like what we think it looks like. But if we trust him, if we have faith, he'll bring us to the place of promise. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel at this time, they really complained through the whole process. And they forgot even who delivered them from slavery. In fact, when Moses went on to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, everybody down at the base of the mountain, they gathered all of their gold and they forged a calf, like a baby cow, that they worshiped and said, this is the God that delivered us from slavery. Like, and we read that today and go, how crazy were these people? But how often do we rely on what we have in our hand to be our source, to be our deliverer? Let me just tell you, God's bigger than your negative bank account. God is bigger than the problem that's facing you. And he's calling you to trust him. Let's trust him and walk by faith. It's 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Keep walking and trusting God and know that the purpose and plan he has for you is a good one. The nation of Israel forgot this, and yet God still brought them to the place where they had the opportunity to step into the place that he promised. He delivered them just like he said he would. He heard their cries. He heard their prayer. He answered. Throughout the entire journey, you can read the book of Exodus and through the book of Numbers, they complained about the journey. I can't say that I've not done that. God, like, this is not what I thought. Like, why is this all this happening? Why am I have to going through this? Like, and then you can start naming like the personal things that you're having to walk through. They become great excuses to complain. But the reality is that if we trust God through them, they'll bring us to the place of deeper faith. You know, my wife's been dealing with seizures for, oh gosh, wow, 2.5, almost 3 years. And that could be a really great excuse to like let life beat you down. But let me tell you what, I know that God has a place of promise for us. And I firmly believe that he's at work. And the truth is because we've stood in faith, have we complained at points? Yeah. Has it been difficult? Yeah. But guess what? God's used it to bring us closer together, to bring our family closer together, because we know the promise that he has. Listen, I'm far from perfect. And I know many people are walking through much, much more difficult things. But the principle of faith holds true. When we walk by faith, instead of the difficulties that are all around us, we're going to get to the place that God promises us. The whole nation actually ended up at that place where they're standing on top of Mount Nebo in modern-day Jordan, looking towards the west. They're looking into the place that God promised that he would have this fertile and amazing land. And in fact, they sent 12 spies into the land to check it out, to see what it was like. And they came back after several weeks in the country, and they came back, and everybody was just waiting. So what's the report? Is it really what God said, a land that's just abundant and said flowing with milk and honey? And while that sounds a little odd, it's just a metaphor for it was an amazingly fertile land. And all 12 of the spies said, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. But 10 of the spies said, yeah, but you see, there's a problem. There's giants there, and the cities are fortified. It's an awesome land, but they're so big, we look like grasshoppers in their sight, and there is no possible way we can go into this land. And in that moment, they let what they saw determine what they believed. And what they saw with their eyes was bigger in their heart, mind, and soul than the word that God had spoken to them. And so they operated in fear. And they weren't ever to go into the promised land. That whole generation rebelled against God because what they saw affected what they believed. Psalms 101:3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. What do you look at? What do you set your heart on? What do you see in the problems around you? Because we can look around and right now there's problems aplenty. But what you set your heart, your mind, your soul, and your sight on is going to determine the place in which you live. And that's kind of my third point. Look, God hears our prayers. It may not be that answered prayer what we think, but when we trust God, how we respond to that answered prayer determines how and where we live. 10 of the spies said, no way. And the whole nation listened to them, but there were 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, yeah, there's giants. Yeah, the city's fortified. But guess what? God's with us. In fact, in Numbers chapter 13, they said, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb tore their clothing in chapter 14, verse 7, and they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the people rebelled, and they allowed what they saw to determine how and where they lived. The how was they lived in fear. The where is they lived in the space between the moment when they were delivered out of slavery and the place that God promised them. They lived in the in-between, and they wandered in the wilderness until they all died. This is why God says, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out. Let's trust God and walk by faith. Everything that we walk through, there's a promise of deliverance. There's a promise, a place of promise. And that whole generation was completely wiped out. They all died in the wilderness, all of them, except for 2 people. Joshua and Caleb, the 2 spies that stood in faith. Stand in faith. And both Joshua became the leader of the next generation that had the opportunity, because every generation does, to stand on the mountaintop and look into the place that God promised them. But the difference was this. That generation said, we can take that land because God's with us. And Joshua became their leader, and Caleb became one of their top leaders, and the guy who took more land than anybody else. We have an opportunity to take a land that's broken and see it at the place that God's promised us. If we stand in faith, stand in faith. Don't walk by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to go back to my life first because it's my life first. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. And he directs your path to life and to light. Maybe you're here and you've had trouble. You're listening to me and you've had trouble trusting God through this. Maybe that fear's creeped in. Maybe that doubt's creeped in. Turn to him. Trust him. He's your deliverer. He's our deliverer. And he's going to bring us to the place of promise. But we decide if we step in. So let's choose to believe and stand strong and step into the place he has for us. Father, I just pray that you just fill everyone who can hear my voice right now, you fill them with faith, that they can hear your voice speaking to them, to trust you through all of this, to trust you right where they are, even in difficulty, even when it's scary, that they trust you and they can step into the destiny that you have for them because they believe you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys, and know this, the best is yet to come. God bless. Bye-bye.